Hallelujah. God bless you, be seated. The Lord Jesus Christ said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when we come together like this, sometimes we should take time and feed our spirit man. And the food of the spirit is not fasting. The food of the spirit is not even prayers. The food of the spirit, amen, that gives strength to the spirit to be able to do spiritual things effectively is the word of God. Amen, is the word of God. Hallelujah. And I feel that there are many people that connect to us, rather come here, or they are connecting on the broadcast only during our prayer programs, especially, you know, the vigils. They are awake now, watching us on air, all around the world, through our internet streaming, through our Facebook streaming, through the Bright Television satellite, and some are here physically now. They are not our church members. They don't even believe what we believe. Like the sisters, when they are coming, they reach the gate, they remove their earring. Then they make sure they cover the hair very well so that that color as Modi Amami water hair they put on their head doesn't show. And then sometimes they carry wrapper and cover their trouser unless under anointing the Holy Ghost expose the trouser. But somehow they don't believe all this, but they will still come. And let me quickly tell you, it is among them that the foolish virgins exist. So may they hear me today. They come here every time, but they belong to Redeem. They come here every time, but they belong to Christ Embassy. They come here every time, they belong to their papa church. Now their papa bring Anglican come their village. Praise the Lord. Even some of them, they come every time, they belong to Sele. Amen. And this category of people, they are very sincere. This is the parable, Matthew 25. Let's read it. But I've spoken so much, I'm only rounding it up. I am not going. Go and get the first part we took on the virgins, the foolish and the wise virgins, so that you can get a complete picture. You know. And then there are some inter-message churches. What I want to achieve, the inter-message churches that also hold on to some aspect of that teaching that says, and I have taught it myself. I have taught it. And we have been teaching that the foolish virgins will be in the tribulation because they will not go in the rapture, and that they will now pay with their own blood, but that they will be in the millennium. But I am sorry, I have looked at it again in the light of the gospel. If you don't go in the rapture, there is no second rapture for you. And when I said it, it sent ripples around the world. But so many people have sent me messages that said, two groups of people that have sent me messages. The first group says, they have always been confused with that teaching. But because it is you, Pastor Moses, that teach it, so they could not agree, but they could not understand. Say, now they are free from their confusion. And then another group, praise the Lord, that react and send the messages to me is the group that is also thanking me for waking them up. If you ever think that if The rapture strikes now and you don't make it, and that you have a second chance. That you will go through the millennium and then you will notice that this is the Antichrist. You refuse to put the mark and therefore you will go through a tribulation, and then you will pay with your blood. You will suffer. Let me tell you something categorically here. If you don't go in the rapture, you are not more. No salvation for you again forever. Hallelujah. That is the cost of foolishness. So Christ himself is the one that projected in Matthew 25. He projected it for those, just reading it for those who may not know where we are making reference to. Verse 1. And he says, then at the end, and this is the end, this is the period he was referring to. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the foolish ones, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Take note of that scripture, then show me where that door was opened again. I searched the Bible. After he shut that door, I didn't see where that door was opened again. Verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, the foolish ones now, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. And he added, watch. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What is the parable telling us? That at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the end time, just before he came, there will be two groups of believers. One will be wise. They are wise. And the other one, certainly will be foolish. And what is it that makes the wise wise and the other one foolish? That earlier on, I gave a definition of what folly means according to the English dictionary. Folly means a lack of good judgment. Folly means the fact of doing something stupid. Folly means an activity or idea that shows a lack of judgment. And the dictionary definition of a fool, who is a fool? A fool is a person who you think behaves or speaks in a way that lacks intelligence or good judgment. And what is it that makes you foolish? Foolish is actions or behavior not showing good sense of judgment. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to make sensible decisions and give good advice. wise, when you say somebody is wise, is being able to make sensible decisions and give good advice. So Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy that since he was young, that he has known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make him wise unto salvation. That will give you wisdom that will save you. And who is a virgin? Literally speaking, a virgin is one who has never had sex. Or rather, a person without sexual, that has, with no sexual experience. So when we talk about foolish virgins, and talking about wise virgins, it means, spiritually speaking, concerning the Christian faith, righteousness, purity, you know, you are faultless. You don't go to Babalawo, you stay with Christ and Christ alone, you and Bible alone, you know no other God but the God of Israel, and Him alone you serve. You try to follow all the laws of righteousness. You don't steal, you don't fornicate, you don't lie, you don't gossip. Every day you are in the church evangelizing up and down. Everybody in the society knows you to be a Christian. And yet you are foolish. Oh, you are wise. It's not enough that you are a virgin, but you must be a wise virgin. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A foolishness. And there are many foolish Christians today. And they fall within various categories that I'll just run through. Praise the Lord. So I gave so many other examples. We spoke a lot. We gave a definition of what Christ expects of us. Now, this foolish and wise virgins are also explained where we looked at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew, let's just get a picture. See, you can joke with anything else, but don't joke with your eternal destination. See, I repeat, you can joke with anything else, but don't joke with your soul. The future of your soul. You can take risk in any aspect of your life endeavors, but don't play risky games with your soul. There is eternity. There is heaven. And there is the lake of fire. Take note that God is in the business of restoring this earth back to what He intended it to be when He created Adam and Eve and put him in the garden. He fell. Everything went upside down. Hallelujah. And here we are today. I spoke to the youth in the camp on a topic they gave me to talk to them. Achieving life's purpose as a youth. That's the topic. Achieving life's purpose. I said, first and foremost, purpose, what you intend to achieve in your life, it begins with choice. It begins with choice. God Himself created us and left that principle with Adam and Eve. The first law He gave them is the law of choice. And that law is before every human being. Eat of this tree, you will have life. Eat of this tree, you will die. Oh yeah, dominate, enjoy. But there's a choice before you. I told the youth, whatever you will achieve in future is determined by the choice you have made for your life. And it is that choice, depending on what choice you make, that produces ambition. Ambition is the quest to achieve your choice that comes from a dream, a vision. Without vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. It's not vision that produces prophets in Brother Assembly see for you. That is not that type of vision. Without vision, people will perish. No. It is without faith that people perish in the church. The vision there is no future. If you have no future goal you are looking at, then you will walk. Any wind will blow, you follow. This will blow, you will follow. Because you have no focus. There is nothing you have that you are pursuing. And that is why people don't live meaningful lives. You have no picture of what you have set for yourself. That is why you will go to school and go and join cult. With joining cult, is that the purpose of going to school? Is it not because there is a vision you have? There is a future you want to attain. That is why you decided to go to school, because you know you must go to school to be able to achieve it. Then why will you go to school and join cult? Why will you go to school instead of reading, you are going to nightclub and going to party? Why will you go to school? It is because you have no vision. Praise God. Now, why are you going to church? It must be a vision you have of heaven. It must be a vision you have. This heaven, I must go. If that is your determination, then it speaks about you have no scriptures that will make you wise, give you wisdom unto salvation. Because you are looking for salvation. Therefore, you will be looking for scriptures that will save you, that will give you this salvation you are looking for. They are the ones that study. They don't study to show up. They don't study because they want to teach people. They study because they want to make sure they are on track. They want to make sure they are on track. Praise the Lord. But people who don't want to go to heaven, anytime you read this Bible, it is guided by what you want to achieve in Christ. So, those who don't want to go to heaven, all their focus is how to be a millionaire. Prosperity, 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 prosperity. When you tell them that, the bride of Christ, this is what the Spirit expects. They don't like that. The kind of gospel they like is, it doesn't matter gospel. Anything, provided it is for prosperity, no problem. So that determines which church to go to. Hallelujah. Now, this is it now. Now, you are seriously looking for where to go. You know, you want to go to heaven. And then, inside of you, you confirm Bride Assembly Church. It's a place, if I go, it will help me. Then you reach here and finish. You even waste your time to become church member. And the things we teach you here, you will not be part of it. You still set your mind to do that. Now, you are foolish. Now, it's true now. If you are a member of this church, if you are a visitor, no problem. Because what we hear will soon drive you away. Because you don't belong here. Because this place is not for everybody. Amen. If you're a member of this church, and we have showed you scripturally the condition They entered the qualification to make it to heaven. And it is in the Bible. We are not the one that wrote it. We read it, we open it, we show it to you. And then you clap hand, amen, amen. And then you live a life again. Contrary to what you see here, and then identify here with, and yet you live a life contrary, because we are not supposed to be hearers only, but doers. No matter what position you occupy in the church, no matter how long you've been in this church, and you don't line up your life with the expectation of what the Bible says concerning those who will go in the rapture, and yet you're a member of this church, you are foolish. You are the one I'm talking to also. You are foolish. See, one foolish group of people that I have known, I think I said it in the last time I spoke, you know, where willingly on your own, you decided to go and join a church, thinking the new church. Then you discover that the pastor himself is not interested in going to heaven. How do you know? You know him to be a fornicator. Even sister, he don't chase you before. Or maybe say he don't sleep with you before. You know him to be a liar. You know him to be covetous. You know him to be wicked. Even God show you in a dream the foundation of that ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you want to live, but you cannot live. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 7. See one group there. Amen. From verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who? Who are those that will enter? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That scripture alone, if I don't read further, should preach the rest of the message. It's not enough. Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's not enough. That is not the qualification for you to go to heaven. It is not enough for you to sing, Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved just like a tree. I shall not be moved. Jesus, we are here. All that one is not what is happy about. That you are singing and dancing is not enough that gives him joy. What gives him joy is that you do. Not say only, but do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, if you study this Bible, the first thing that will come to your head is, I beg, since I want to go to heaven, what is the will of the Father? That is how you study the Bible. What is the will of the Father? Praise the Lord. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Okay now. And in thy name have cast out devils? Deliverance minister. Take it. Who are you? Demon, who are you? Demon, who are you? I am Amahotia, I am Adioha. I am the one that caged him. And everybody is looking at this man. This man is a man of God. Even demons, they fear. Okay. And in thy name done many wonderful works, mighty miracles, signs and wonders in that day. Verse 23. And then at that time will I profess, I will answer unto them. What will he say? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. But everybody knew you to be a deliverance minister. Everybody knew you to be a man of God. Everybody knew you to be a mighty pastor, mighty anointed one. Everybody knows you. Even the president of your country knows you. From all over the world, they travel to come and know you. But that Jesus, that you are using his name and his anointing to do miracles, signs and wonders, can still tell you, I didn't know you. Amen. He said, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Verse 24. See it now. The two groups, the foolish and the wise virgins, are here. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And verse 26, see the foolish ones now. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Because he built his house upon what? Sand. Now, if you are a Bible student, amen. There is a scripture here, statement here that will provoke a question. Therefore, verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, you will ask, which sayings? That's how you study the Bible. Which sayings? What did he say? That he's saying that we must take heed and practice them. They are all he was saying in Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6. They are the sayings of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, up to Matthew chapter 7. That is the foundation of our faith. From verse 5. Hallelujah. You know, this is the way he put it. He said, from verse 1. He said, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, so you see now the sayings of mine. Is somebody understanding now? So he was saying something, and in chapter 7 now, he said, he that takes it to the sayings, to those sayings that Jesus was saying, it starts from here. And I took time in the last message, and I dissected them verse by verse, what he meant, that have come to become the foundation of our Christian faith. And if you're unable to build on this, that is the rock upon which our foundation is built as Christians. The sayings of Jesus in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But now take note. Amen. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. And I spoke the last time, when did he know them? He knew them from the time they started following him? No, he knew them before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4, 5, 6 says so. For those who are writing scriptures. Hallelujah. From the foundation of the world, he knew us. Because our names are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Before even the world began, He has known you and He has called you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. By foreknowledge, Romans 8:29 and 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. You are elected according to His foreknowledge, and His foreknowledge therefore produced your predestination. You are predestined, amen, to be conformed to the image of His Son. And why did He say He knew them? Hallelujah. He knew them. Because He knew them, they also know Him. Amen. I know my sheep and they hear me. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. If I read it up to verse 29, all that is His emphasis. He told the Pharisees, the very religious people who are rejecting truth. In John chapter 8, verse 43, also verse 47, He emphasized there, why do you not understand my speech? I preach here. Why are others following and you not following? Why? Because you are not of God. He that is of God heareth God's word. When did you become of God? It is your origin He's looking at. It's your origin. And in John chapter 6, verse 37 up to verse 39, even verse 45, He emphasized there, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. When did the Father give him? The Father gave him from the foundation of the world, with names written in the book of life. All that the names are there in the book of life, they will hear His voice and they will come to Him. And none, He will not lose any of them. That's why He said the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Praise the Lord. Take note that the door was shut. Shut to who? Shut in with the bride and another group shut out. The foolish virgins were shut out. The door was shut. Which door was shut? Is the door of salvation. One of these days, salvation will be over. And once it is over, no second chance. Over is over. In every program, there is agenda, right? There's agenda and there are items. Item 1, item 2, item 3. And then before we reach item 7, you came late. Item 7 is gone. What is item 7? Everybody knows that they always call it item 7. They always put it number 7. And the food is over. And then you come. And then by the time you are coming, amen, just before you came, the vote of thanks has been given by the celebrant and the closing prayer is done. Then you are arriving. Oh, because you are an important personality. Oh, because you are even the one that sent the money that sponsored that program. Then they will say, ah, wait. Let's start all over, Abby. It is over. It is over. The door of salvation. Once it is closed, it fulfills Romans 11 verse 25. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. What is he saying? Salvation will remain with the Gentiles till the last elect comes in, is saved. When the last one is saved, there is no provision for any other one to come. The door is closed. Salvation is over. The light is out from the Gentiles. Queen Esther has been selected. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The check-in encounter is closed for the flight. So how will you get your boarding pass? There's nobody in the counter anymore to help you. The Holy Ghost has been withdrawn. So who will help you to save you? The mercy seat with the blood of atonement is vacated. So which mercy again? Because he has two seats. Jesus Christ has two seats. There is the seat of mercy and there is the seat of judgment. When he stands up from the mercy seat, mercy is over. The next thing the whole world is waiting for is judgment, as far as the Gentiles are concerned. Whoever you are, praise the Lord. Noah's ark, the door of his ark, has been closed. Nobody will enter again till the judgment is over, before God will open it again for the millennium to start. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A foolish man achieves nothing. Nothing permanent. Nothing. It's only a fool that is always weeping and gnashing his teeth because he knows the damage he has is irreparable. If it is repairable, why are you weeping and gnashing your teeth? It is irreparable. Praise the Lord. But they are sincere. Their stories, they were sincere. That's why they can face Jesus Christ face to face and tell him, was it not in your name I did this? Was it not in your name I cast out devils? Was it not in your name? Was it not in your name? But he will say, it's not enough. But you were given opportunity to serve me acceptably. And instead of you to do what others were doing, you were busy doing some other things. And you know why? Amen. The Bible is our bearing. And in this age, there is no more illiteracy. This age now, hallelujah, the generality of the population of the world, they can read and write. And even if they cannot read and write, the gospel is now preached in every language. You have ears to hear. And we have recording devices, electronic recording devices. The messages are stored and played for everybody to hear. Amen. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations. Then the end will come. So nobody will say, you didn't hear. And you will wonder, how will everybody hear it? The wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. He sees the end from the beginning. He saw the invention of internet. He saw the invention of satellite televisions. He saw the invention of, you know, a medium of communication in this age, that no law in any country can stop the gospel from reaching the elect wherever they are. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I've seen, I've heard, and one of them even came here, Muslims that gave their life to Christ watching the bright television in their rooms, even in Saudi Arabia. Amen. One of the owners of the satellite that these Christian programs are broadcasting, you know, they are owned by these Muslim rich people, what do you call them, you know, those millionaires from there. And immediately they launched it over Africa. It was Christian churches that went there, and they decided to block it. They decided to make it more expensive just to frustrate it. And then, of course, the Christian channels, everybody, the Christian ministry, they all withdrew. And suddenly they discovered that they were at loss. Competitors were ready to launch their own there immediately, and they will lose the market. So they had no option than to bring it back and then follow the competitive market. And so, here they are. The whole world today, through internet, they are hearing the gospel. And that is why I keep telling the people, the emphasis now is not about which church you attend. The gospel salvation process has gone beyond the church now. Hallelujah. It is about relationship with God. It's about relationship with God. And to me, that is evidence that the door of salvation will soon close, because the gospel, the prophecy Jesus Christ gave, that this gospel will be preached to all nations. Then the end will come. I am telling you now, by the grace of the internet, all nations are hearing the gospel now. All nations. And don't worry. All elect. Hallelujah. All elect. Wherever they are, God knows how to let them catch the truth for the hour. So it's not about you attending a church. It is about you seeing the truth, responding to it, and lining up your life to the sayings of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord.